Welcome to the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are helping the small church fulfill the big mission. My name is Brian, and I'm a fellow small church pastor, joined in the same room at the same time with the same amazing people that I'm with every week, Colby and Joey. Guys, what is going on?
My life is dope, and I do dope things.
And I'm blessed.
That's right. I love it, guys. This is fantabulously-tastic, and it's awesome to be back together recording another episode of the Small Church Leadership Podcast. I don't know about you guys in the room, but I sure do enjoy whenever we get together and just solve all of the problems that the world has together.
If everybody would just listen.
If everybody would listen.
We have the answers.
I mean, seriously. And for you that are out there in listener land, if you could just hear how awesome we solve all problems when we're not recording. I mean, you're blessed to have just a tiny bit of what it is that we deal with. And with that being said.
I was going to say, it's getting deep in here. I'm going to have to go get my hip boots.
I hear you. That's right. Cause the anointing of God is so deep in here right now.
Yes.
Anointing. Yeah, that's what we'll call it.
That's one thing to call it, right? So guys, today is episode 64. I'm excited about episode 64 because it has a lot of, man, just personal significance for me because I'm in the middle of doing this right now. Today, we are talking about how to plan your sabbatical. I have sabbatical coming up, the first one I've ever taken. And so I am currently in my 13th year as a senior pastor. And this will be the first real sabbatical that I've ever taken this year. So I'm looking forward to that. So I want to learn from you guys. You both took one last year, so I want to learn some things from you and kind of talk about some things that I'm doing as well to be ready for my sabbatical. So my sabbatical will be in the summer, and as we're recording this currently, it is February when we're currently recording this. So it's a few months before my sabbatical gets here, but just like Easter, that's coming up soon, Small Church Nation, we don't want to wait until the day of to get everything ready, right? We want to work the front side, we want to work the day of, and we want to work that back side. And so the same thing is true for planning your sabbatical. So with that being said, what do you guys think? Talk to me about it.
I think I need to take another sabbatical.
I was thinking the same thing.
It's only been 5-6 months. So I'm ready to take another one.
That's right. So what you're saying is I need to plan multiple ones back to back right now.
If only that was possible. It is possible. I mean, some churches do allow their senior pastor to take multiple. I mean, take them every year. I know one church, their senior pastor every June takes a sabbatical. That'd be great if you got it like that. We don't.
Yeah.
And you guys probably don't either. It's done right. It's so valuable.
Absolutely.
And done right. See, Colby did his right. I did mine sort of right for what I was doing, but it could have been a whole lot better if I'd did some things different.
Right.
And doing it right is based on the context of who's doing it. So, I mean, just doing it is right. How you do it depends on what you're able to do. But just getting the sabbatical in is right.
So how often a sabbatical?
Well, I think that that's something that depends on kind of the rhythm of your church and your church leadership team. One thing we don't want you pastors to do is to go in at your next staff meeting and be like, doggone it, I'm taking a sabbatical whether you like it or not. Now, maybe that is something that needs to happen, a sabbatical, but say it a different way because you got to learn to work with your church team here because what you don't want is you don't want to turn a six-week sabbatical into an unemployment line, right?
Yes, right? Right.
And so in terms of the rhythm of how often you should do it, at the very least, you should look at about every 5 to 7 years, you need to try to plan a sabbatical in. That's the current best practices.
And there's an emergency sabbatical, and then there's a planned sabbatical.
Yes. Now I took an emergency sabbatical for like 3 weeks. So I said earlier, this is the first sabbatical I'll be taking. This first planned sabbatical that I'll be taking. So there is an emergency one. And if you're taking an emergency sabbatical, I'm just going to tell you from experience, that is a screaming red light, red flag from God that something's not right. You know, if we're always having to borrow money from people to pay our light bill, there's probably a bigger problem than our light bill. It's where we're budgeting our money at. And the same is true with sabbatical. If we're always having to take an emergency sabbatical or we're always needing a few days off to recover, we're spending our energy in places that don't fulfill us. We're spending it in a lot of of inaccurate ways.
Yeah, an emergency sabbatical, there's some mental health that you have to, you need to stop and deal with and get right before you can go forward. Or it may be something physical. You just lost something significant and you can't keep doing ministry where you're at and you need to take a break and get healed so that you can, or deal with that.
Yeah,
a loss of a spouse would be an example of that.
Yeah. And there's nothing, oftentimes you could hear emergency versus plan and you could think that the emergency is a negative one. No. As Colby said, just taking a sabbatical is important. And so maybe there are negative situations that are causing you to take a sabbatical, but taking time off, resting, recuperating, drawing closer to God, processing things that are happening, that's none of that is negative. That's all positive. That's making you and me and we better leaders that can be better used for the kingdom of God.
It's not sinful to do this.
That's absolutely right. And so make sure you're working with your team, working with your church. You have a solid game plan. One of the things that we've got to fight against, and this is not just sabbatical, this isn't everything we do, is just going in and being because I said so, it's got to be. That doesn't work with our kids, right? Like, it's not going to work with building a good team.
Or go into your leadership team and say, well, the Small Church Leadership Podcast guys said I need to take a sabbatical. Don't blame us for it. You do
exactly
need to take
right.
one, but don't put us on the spot like that.
And so, like, for example, you may need to plan one for next year because it will take your entire church a year to get ready for that. That's okay. That's a goal. So as of recording this, it's February. So maybe you're going to look for the next June or July. So this is over a year. This is what, I don't know, 15, 16 months that you've got to plan it out. Well, here's what I know. That's going to be a doggone good sabbatical because you've had a lot of time to plan it out and move the church where it needs to be to go there. So let's do this. We've got kind of a pre-sabbatical checklist of, I don't know, there's maybe five or six different things here that we're going to put on this sabbatical checklist. But so, guys, how do you want to do this? Do you want to go through the checklist first, or do you want to talk about the differences between can you take a sabbatical, all the stuff that we've got down there in that?
Do the checklist.
Just do the checklist. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Here are the things that you need to have on your pre-sabbatical checklist. The first thing is this. You need to have multiple conversations with your staff and other key leaders, okay? I want to break down that statement. Have multiple conversations. Multiple means more than one. Conversation means it's a two-way street. One of the mistakes that you can have as planning your sabbatical is just going in and dropping the hammer, like we've been saying. Hey, I'm taking sabbatical, whether you like it or not. Now, let's take a step back and let's look at what we're really communicating there. What we're really communicating there is whether the church is able for me to take one or not. I'm not going to lead the church to a place for me to be able to take one because I have to take one now. There are better ways to go about doing that. So plan on having multiple conversations with your staff and other key leaders. Here's the thing. This is going to take multiple conversations where you're answering questions, where you're over explaining what sabbatical is, why sabbatical matters. And there are some people that essentially fall into two different camps. You've got your why and your how camp. Your why camp are people that are going to need the why is sabbatical important. They're the motivational people. They're the ones that you're going to need to let them know, man, even God rested. This is important. This is pouring into my life and my leadership. This isn't us taking our foot off the gas, but this is actually us positioning ourselves for better. That's the why people. Then you're going to have how people. Now, sometimes the how people will how you to death. How are we going to be able to survive? Well, it's already, most sabbaticals happen in summertime, so you'll hear something like, well, it's already summertime and numbers are down. How can we survive with you not being here? That's something that you're just going to have to deal with. And I want to encourage you, pre-plan how you're going to respond to that. Don't, if you're like me, the how people will how you to death, and you just get frustrated, and you want to be like, in the name of Jesus, this is it. We're going to do it. Don't ask me another question. But what I'm learning as I'm planning this out is when I over-communicate to the how people, hey, I'm going to be gone for 4 weeks. I'm going to be gone for 6 weeks. I'm going to be gone for 8 weeks, whatever it is, and here's the plan. We're going to have people speaking. Here's who needs to be talked to if an emergency happens. Like, it's just important that you're answering questions and you're talking through that with people. So, guys, you want to jump in and say anything about that?
Yeah, I think the important part there is to plan on – this isn't just an opinion that there's going to be a how camp and a why camp. You're going to have that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So go into these conversations already in your mind. You know that these are the questions they're going to ask. Why do you need it? What's going on in your household that makes you think that you need to have this? Are we that much of a burden on you? You want to make sure that you're clarifying those things. How is this going to be paid? How are the pulpit fills going to be paid? How are you going to accomplish this? You want to play this out in your mind before the meeting so that you're not digging for answers during and get thrown off, because they're going to be the same questions everybody asks.
Those are such good questions.
Every person. And I know this because those are the questions that were asked me.
Are we such a burden that you need to take this? No, ministry is such a burden.
Yes.
That there's times that you need to be charged.
That's called the conviction of the Holy Spirit right there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And are we that much of a burden? It's the conviction of the Holy Spirit.
Here's something, too, just to keep in mind. Every question is not an attack.
Right.
I don't do well with that. I'm learning that. When I get questions, especially if I've already made my mind up, when you question me, then you're questioning God. And that's not true, especially from the how camp. The how camp are going to have a lot of questions. And just graciously walk them through them, even if they don't understand fully or they don't agree fully. Like, we know you need a sabbatical, so you're going to have to take it. Everybody's not going to be on board with it, but I would much rather you to have done the hard work of having multiple conversations, and you can at least say, guys, I've talked to you about this for 5 months, 6 months, a year. Like, this is just something that has to happen, as opposed to, well, I told you once, doggone it, and we're going to do it, whether you like it or not. So,
And you can bank on this question. What happens if somebody new comes in while you're gone? Somebody's going to think that question. Now, will they ask that question? I was asked that question before I went online. I was talking to a pastor just this morning about sabbaticals, and he said that his leadership asked him said they asked me that question. And I was like, man, that was the same question they asked me. And so be prepared for the answer. And the answer is, if you love them while I'm gone, they will be here when I get back.
Yes.
And so you've got to turn the responsibility over to your leadership to make sure that the new people that come in are being loved on by the leadership team. It's not just the pastor that has to love everybody that walks through the door. So put that ownership on the leadership, saying, hey, love them, take care of them, minister to them, and work through that. That way they know that now it's on them to take care of those things.
I love it. One thing that is also important, if I can piggyback on that, is being able to say, guys, we've got a great system, and everybody on this team is part of that system. So if we've got new people that come through, they're going to get the email. They're going to get the guest gift. They're going to get the card in the mail. They're going to get the personal touch from our team, because we've built such a great team that nothing around here revolves around one person, including me. So we are going to have new people come through while I'm gone. Praise God for that. You know what they're going to see? They're going to see a church that's healthy. And you know what? Healthy things grow. And we're so excited we can be healthy during this sabbatical. And you are going to be the reason people get connected in. Do you see what I did there? I just pre-planned some wording behind what we believe is going to happen. So that's great there. Joey, you have anything you want to jump in on with that before we get to the next one?
Well, your plan A is only as good as your plan B.
Okay, unpack that.
All right, so we run into a situation, one of us ran into a situation this week that we were away and got a phone call that somebody that was a key leader while we were going to be away couldn't show up. And so you're going to have that. So you need to have a plan B when they don't. So you're not the one getting called to deal with it, because what happened with me is I got a call, oh, well, I can't preach that Sunday after all. So I had to come back in off a sabbatical to preach a service because I didn't have a plan B.
Yes, absolutely. That's so good. And that's one of the checklist items. And we'll actually just jump right to that one. So here's the next checklist item is create a sabbatical plan to meet your needs and to create boundaries. So the create boundaries part is right there next to the last one, Joey. The create a sabbatical plan to meet your needs and create boundaries. So as you go into a sabbatical, what are your needs? Are you going into this sabbatical because you're just exhausted and you need a break? That's a valid sabbatical. creating a plan for that. Because here's the thing, just sleep until lunchtime every day and not doing anything, that's not going to fix it. That's not going to fix it at all. What you're going to do is you're just going to sleep a lot, and you're not going to be intentional about your growth. Or is this sabbatical for you to, man, work on the calendar for the next year? What is this sabbatical about? Create a plan to meet those needs and then create boundaries. Okay, as I'm going into sabbatical, half of this sabbatical is just to rest. And so part of my boundaries are my plan B. Here's plan A. I'm going to be gone for 6 weeks. Here are the people you need to contact. Well, what if that goes down? Okay. Well, if that goes down, don't call me. If that goes down, here's the game plan for this. What if this happens? Here's the game plan for that. And then I love my youth pastor, who's kind of my spiritual father. He used to do this when we would go on trips. He would say, everybody take your hands out and I want you to do what I'm doing. And he would hold his hands out wide, and then he would take both of them and put them on his head. And he's like, do what I'm doing. So everybody put your hands on your head. And then he's like, what are you holding in your hands? And everybody would go, my head. And he'd say, use it. And he would do this on every mission trip we did. We'd do like 6 mission trips a year. And the point behind it was you have authority to come up with a solution. And so as you're creating a sabbatical plan to meet your needs and create boundaries, make sure that you're working into that. Hey, I'm not the best leader around the table, right? We just talked about that on episode 63. If you hadn't checked that out, you can go and listen to that. But when you get around the table, this sabbatical plan is also the boundary part of it is not just creating boundaries for you, but letting other leaders grow. Like, dude, you're a better leader than I am. If we've got a problem, they can reach out to you and you can solve that. I don't have like a greater level of Holy Spirit than you do. You don't have decaffeinated Holy Spirit. Like, you're a great leader and a great team member. And the only reason I can take this sabbatical is because I can trust you guys to take this on and go with it.
So you're talking about authorize other people to make a decision if you're not there.
Yes. Even if it's a wrong decision, authorize them to make decisions. Because here's what I know. If you're on a sabbatical and you answer that phone one time, you're not on a sabbatical anymore. You've told your people that, hey, he needs this rest and this recuperation, but you know what? Screw that. This is more important than his rest and relaxation. And like, I would have handled your sabbatical issue differently. I'm going to walk these people through that. And if somebody calls me, I'm going to tell them, sorry about your luck. And I'm not going to do it in a harsh way. I'm just going to be hey, if this thing, there's a bigger issue that I'm the only one that can be there for this. And I'm not saying you did it wrong. I'm saying this is how I would have handled
it. Oh, I did it wrong.
he's going to say he did it wrong.
I did it wrong.
See, so when I was on mine, and I shared this last year when we talked about it, was 2 weeks into my sabbatical, we had COVID breakout, wipe out my entire worship team. And so I was getting,
by wipe out, you mean they just got sick.
They got sick.
You got to clarify the wipe out.
Yeah, you're right.
Now.
You're right. They're
this guy
okay
just said
now.
His whole team died and he's not even, doesn't even have remorse about
it. They're okay now. But so they
turned me into a newt.
They all got COVID. They all were sick. And so, I got email after email after email. I didn't answer a single one. I didn't answer phone calls. I didn't answer text messages. I had do not disturb turned on my phone. I took social media completely off of my devices. I was not going to be communicated with by anybody other than my wife. And so I saw the emails. They said, hey, we've got an issue. We had COVID. What do we do? And I just let it go. And they made a decision, and it was the right decision. And because I had the leaders that were capable of making it, they were just kind of gun shy. But in the end, they made the decision, and it was the right decision. And so, I put that stuff in place. I'm not answering the phone when I'm on a sabbatical. I don't answer the phone when I'm on a day off.
Yeah, I was going to jump in.
I'm not going to answer the phone on a sabbatical for sure.
Yeah, and I was absolutely going to say that. Like, part of the deal is you've seeded that into their personality because you have a quote day off, and you're running to every emergency that they have.
Yeah.
And so love you very much, and I've given you a lot of my time, but this time is not that.
Now, a death would be different.
Right.
However, if I'm in the air, in the local area, and there's a death, that would be different. I don't know that I would do the funeral during my sabbatical. That's case by case. So, right. I mean, you're just going to have to figure that one out. But if I'm out of the area, I'm not coming back. I mean, it's just like if I'm on vacation in Florida, I'm not coming back to do a funeral.
Yeah.
It's just you've got to make sometimes there's going to be a reason to answer the phone, but it doesn't need to be every time your phone rings.
Yeah. And these are, again, these are generalized guidelines. Colby's going to handle things differently than Joey, and Joey's going to handle things differently than Brian. And so, you know, I think I'm at a different place in my life in terms of my kids are younger than you guys' kids are. And if I'm on vacation, you know, 1,000 miles away at the in South Florida, and I get a phone call, I'm probably going to ignore that phone call. Because here's what I don't want to happen. My oldest sons are 9 years old right now, so they're already halfway gone. I don't want the rest of their time them to be like, well, anytime that phone rang, no matter where we were at, Dad would cancel vacation because the phone rang. And small church environment's different. We understand that. Like, in some cases, we're the only preacher in the church. So there may be a death or something that comes up that we absolutely have to deal with. What I hope that you hear from this checklist is don't plan your sabbatical around the extreme things that could happen. Know that you're going to have those, and you got to deal with those on a case-by-case, situation-by-situation basis. Finding out should the announcements go at the beginning of the service or the end of the service, that's not a phone call worthy of you answering on sabbatical.
Well, the first two that we talked about here, I didn't do well. That's why I got the phone call. If I'd have set my leadership up and told them why I was taking the sabbatical, the importance of it, how it was going to work, and I spent a little bit more time prepping that, then I wouldn't have got a
yeah. And that's important. It's important. Like, this is the thing that I'm learning as a leader. I've got to have way more meetings with people. And when I say meetings, I mean, that could be as simple as a text message or a phone call or like a video message from Marco Polo. It could be as quick as somebody's in the building and we're walking from the kids area to the sanctuary. And while we're walking, I'm priming them and talking them through stuff. I just have a habit of saying it one time and thinking you're going to get it. And that's not how anything works in life. Like, my wife is currently teaching our kids their timetables. She has to say it over and over and sing it in creative songs and annoy the hound out of them for them to get it. And that's how this over communication is. So here's some other things that are really logistical things to deal with for your checklist. So I'm going to go back through. The first one is have multiple conversations with staff and other key leaders. Explain the why and the how. The next one is create a sabbatical plan to meet your needs and create boundaries. Here's another one that's super, super important. Create and communicate your sabbatical staff flow chart. Create and communicate your sabbatical staff flow chart. We've talked about that a lot, but essentially that's this. While I'm gone, here's who's in charge. Here's what areas they're in charge of. Here's their authority and all of that. Here's who you call. If you can't get that person, here's who you contact. And this is the staff flow of what it looks like. Now, hopefully you already have that staff flow, and you're just saying even louder, this thing we've already put in place is what matters. We're just wiping me off of the top of the list and putting somebody else for right now. So make sure you create and communicate that staff flow chart. Guys, what do we need to know about the staff flow chart in terms of sabbatical and creating and communicating that?
Like you said, it's something that you've already created. Hopefully you've already created. Just reiterate it. And when you're on, it's kind of like you're giving them practice while you're on vacation. Practice this.
Yeah.
Because that's maybe just a week, maybe 2 weeks. So practice. They're practicing this flow chart. They're practicing who do I call with this situation, or, you know, bad weather came in, we have to close, hurricane, whatever. You know, COVID, what do we do? There's already processes in place, already a system in place. So they're practicing it while you're gone. And then before you leave, you're like, I would say every week, you're talking about, hey, leading up to your sabbatical, hey, going to go on sabbatical. If you have any problems, you call Brian. You know, if the next week, hey, going to go on sabbatical. If you have any problems, you call Brian. You just keep hammering that home over and over and over so that it is known that you don't call the pastor's wife. You don't call the church secretary. You call Brian.
Yeah, that's a big one there. You don't call the pastor's wife, because sometimes people try to slide in that way. Well, I'm just going to ask her, because she'll ask him, and then I'll get my answer back, and technically I'm not bothering him.
So we have a friend that's happened to, right?
We have a friend. Yeah, we're not doing that. Like, my wife is not associate pastor. That's not how this thing works out. And here's something that I want to encourage you with. Start working this staff flow out right now. Don't wait until the month of your sabbatical to start this staff flow. Start working this right now. Colby, you've got this thing in your office of like what's the 5% that only you can do?
Yes.
Maybe my number's off, but
no, it's fine.
But the point is, there are certain things that only you can do. As a pastor in the organization, there are only certain things you can do. Those are the key parts of your role. One of them's casting vision. people ain't going to cast a new vision in the 6 weeks that you're gone. And if they do, we got a bigger issue that we got to deal with, okay? But, like, essentially, this church is going to be without a preacher, without a counselor, and without a potential preacher for funerals while you're gone. These are easy things that we can work out, which leads us to the next checklist. So first checklist item is have multiple conversations with staff and other key leaders. The next one is create a sabbatical plan to meet your needs and create boundaries. The third one is create and communicate your sabbatical staff flowchart. And then the next one is this. Schedule guest speakers or have another plan in place. Schedule guest speakers or have another plan in place. Now, there are two checklist items I don't want to talk about here. The other one is solidify the dates of your sabbatical. You got to know when you're going on sabbatical. Current best practice is to try to do it in the summertime for this reason. People are on vacation and your numbers are already low, so summertime is a good time to metaphorically take the foot off of the gas and get some rest. You don't want to do sabbatical during the month of Easter. Don't do it in April, right? You don't want to do it in December around Christmas time. You don't want to do it in September in the fall when people are kicking back in the church. Generally speaking, you want your church calendar to follow the school calendar. When school is out, families are out. When school's back in, families are back in. So solidify your dates. Try May, June, or July. Typically, I would tell you June or July, because May, you've got Mother's Day, and Mother's Day is a big day. So solidify your dates. And as you solidify your dates, the other checklist is this. Schedule guest speakers or have another plan in place. I've already scheduled 6 guest speakers for the 6 weeks that I'm going to be out, and I had them fully scheduled by January. Now, mine is going to be through June. So that's, 6 months in advance that I had these people scheduled, so that this works with the other thing. When somebody says, what are we going to do? Who's going to preach? I've already got that laid out. Here's who's preaching. Here's what that's going to look like, that series, all of that stuff. The other thing is, or have another plan in place. Now, maybe you can't get guest speakers scheduled right now. Maybe you have to schedule a plan like, okay, I'm going to be gone 4 weeks. We can only have people come in for 2 weeks. So those other 2 weeks, I'm going to pre-record a video message, and you play a video message while I'm gone. Or I need to work with a deacon or an elder to help develop them to a place where they can teach for those 2 weeks while I'm gone. Because after all, one of the biblical qualifications of an elder is what? That they're able to teach. And so this was a good spiritual growth conversation to have with people around the table. Oh, you're an elder. You're a spiritual leader around here. Well, one of the biblical qualifications is that you can teach. So if you can't teach right now, this is just the same as being an adulterer, right? Or being a drunkard, right? Because this is a spiritual qualification. That's what Paul says that elders can do. An elder must be able to teach. But the problem is we don't believe the Bible deeply enough, right? Because here's the thing. We'd say speaking in tongues is a spiritual gift. So is giving. That's what Paul says is a spiritual gift. So for those that don't want people to speak in tongues, do you not want people to give? I think we want people to give that have the gift of giving. So the same thing is true when he talks about qualifications of biblical elders. Can you see I've tapped into my Bible side of me right now?
Yeah, you did.
He's saying able to teach. That's a biblical qualification. So doggone it, if you're not able to teach, either we've got to develop you or we've got to bless you in the name of the Lord, right? So schedule guest speakers or have another plan in place. Guys, talk to me about that.
Yeah, I think that was great. I mean, you've planned it out 6 months in advance, which is quite a ways. But it's one of those things that you can reassure your people every single meeting that you have is, yep, I've already got 6 people filling in. Yeah. And so the one thing you don't want to do is if you're starting your sabbatical in June is, you know, May 15th, somebody says, well, who's preaching the first one of June? I don't know. That's your problem. I'm not going to be here.
Right.
You know, don't want to do that. You want to make sure that you've got everything planned the best of your abilities. And if you do it, you know you're going to get biblically sound, theologically sound
right.
people.
If you allow somebody to get
Cousin Eddie in there to right. preach while you're gone, then you're going to have some problems. And so you've already set things up so that you know that you're going to have semi-quality people in there.
And here's another benefit, too, is that the farther out you schedule, the more time you have if something goes wrong. If somebody calls me in March or April and says, hey, something's come up in June and I can't make it, I have 2 more months or 3 more months to get ready to replace that person. But if I've only waited till the last minute and then something comes up, then we've got a problem and an issue. And honestly, what I may end up doing, and I'm just thinking out loud, I may pre-record six messages anyway for the 6 weeks I'll be out. In case that happens, they can be like, cool, we'll just hit play on this. So now my mind is at ease. I don't have to worry about that at all because I know that's taken care of.
If you're part of a network or denomination, you also can contact the leader there and find out, is there anybody? You might have some older preachers that are looking for a place.
Yeah.
To speak, and they could come in and do a couple weeks at your church.
Absolutely. And it would bless them. Some retired ministers, yeah, or anything like that.
And doing it 6 months out again. Yeah,
yes, missionaries.
Yeah, absolutely.
You just got to watch them. They'll take all your money while you're going. I'm teasing.
And going back to the, you know, Brian doing it 6 months out, not a lot of people have their calendars planned 6 months out. They do 2 months out or maybe 1 month out. And if you wait to that last minute and then you say, hey, because, you know, I've got my preaching calendar figured out till May. Well, I don't have June figured out. So Brian asked me, hey, can you fill the pulpit? Yeah, I got nothing scheduled for June. So now I know.
I have at least one friend in this room that's willing to help me out on that.
Thank you, Kobe. I know that on that day I don't have anything. I do not schedule anything on my calendar for my church on that day because I'm not going to be here. So that one, doing it so far in advance as made sure that, you know, people are available because they haven't scheduled that Sunday yet. If you waited till May to tell me, hey, can you do this? I'm booked out to September or October by then. So the further in advance you do it, the easier it is for that other person to be available.
That's so good. And one thing we learned at this, Joey and I were at a training now. It's been a month or so ago now. But one thing they mentioned that is a difference between smaller churches and larger churches is smaller churches tend to schedule by the weeks and larger churches schedule by the months and the years. Mm-hmm. And so this is something, man, we can take that turn to the next step and schedule out a little bit farther, a little bit longer in advance. I do want to pick on you, Joey, because you're not able to help me on my sabbatical because
I was going to defend myself here in a minute.
Let me defend you. You've scheduled yourself so far out that you're scheduling time off. And it would be counterproductive to your time off if you're working for me. But you knew that because it's in your schedule, your rhythm.
Yeah, my strategic calendar says June is when everybody goes on vacation, school's out, they depart. So you take that time off, and I'm letting my associate do a series during that time. And so I'm off resting naturally. I'll be at the church, but I won't be doing much at the church during that time because I'm resting and recovering.
Yeah. One of the dangers of pastoral ministry is there's no off season. There's a, you know, all three of us in this room are football fans, and they talk about, you know, mid season in the football season, everybody's hurt, right? Like that is just, that's the nature of the game. And so teams love it when a bye week comes on because it gives people a little bit extra time to get healed up. Well, there's no off season in pastoral ministry unless you create an off season. And just build into the regular rhythm of your sermon calendar and your leadership calendar where June, you're just going to take those 4 or 5 Sundays, depending on how it shakes out. You're going to take those and just have them off. Now, maybe you're going to be in the building like Joey is, because how many of you know that church people, if you're not in the building, they don't want to pay you? So maybe you still have to be in the building, but let an associate preach. Maybe this is a challenge to say, hey, I need to start building a preaching team. I need people that can be there ready to go to preach, and I'm going to help develop them in this way.
And if you don't have somebody you can turn over a series to and get 4 weeks out, maybe you got 2.
Yeah.
But do something to take some rest during that time so you can recoup.
Also, like this may be anathema to some people that are listening, but maybe if you're doing all of the content creation, i.e. if you're writing all the sermons from scratch, when it gets to June, buy a sermon series from somebody. Or steal a sermon series for somebody in the name of Jesus. It's okay if you steal in the name of Jesus. Right now, I have asked you guys, what are you doing at several different occasions? And I've stolen some of your sermon ideas. Like we just got out of a sermon series that we partnered with another church with what we did. And that's just a fancy way of saying that I called him up and said, hey, can I use this series? And he sent me all of his stuff. It's okay. Like think about this as a pastoral minister who creates sermons. We are literally discovering fire every Sunday. Take some time off emotionally and mentally so that you can recoup while you're in the building at the same time. So here's this. We're going to talk about this last one here that's important, and I'm going to go through it real quick. Okay, first checklist, have multiple conversations with staff and other key leaders. Next, create a sabbatical plan to meet your needs and create boundaries. Next, create and communicate your sabbatical staff flowchart. Next, solidify the dates of the sabbatical. Next, schedule guest speakers or have another plan in place. And then finally, the one that we hate the most, create a budget. Now, this is a budget for you personally and a budget for your church. Are you going to pay people whenever they come in to preach? How much money are you going to pay them? Where's this money going to come from? Are you going to be getting paid at the same time when you're doing a sabbatical? As you take your sabbatical, are you going to be going someplace? Do you need to schedule the rooms that you're going to stay in? Like, there's a conference center. Maybe you need to reach out to them right now because of the summertime. They're going to be booked. Where's the money coming from? Are you going out of state? Are you going to rent a cabin for a couple of weeks? You need to create a budget. And the thing about a budget is the more time you have, the more opportunity you have to feed into that budget. So I know we don't like budget. It's a four-letter word, especially in my house. With me, it's a four-letter word. But learn to create a budget and stick with it. So, he's laughing over there about the budget stuff.
I was just laughing because Joey's over there counting the letters in budget. And he's like, there's more than four in there.
I've been spelling it wrong or something.
And his mouth was moving while he was doing it. That's what I was laughing at.
Why use lot word when few words do trick? So, guys, we hope that we've encouraged you and not discouraged you. We want you to know Sabbath and sabbatical matters. And we want you to work. Here's the big thing. We want you to work with your churches on this, because one of the dangers of sabbatical is churches can view it as us versus the pastor, that the pastor doesn't like us, we've become a burden to him, and he's got to take time off, and what are we going to do while you're gone on sabbatical? Be very wary that you don't create a us versus them mentality or attitude. You want your church to celebrate sabbatical and not hate sabbatical. Mm-hmm. I just read an article just this week about another mega church pastor who had a fall from grace. And listen how stupid this is. This guy is having an affair with somebody on his staff, and somebody catches them, and like they come to the door with very few clothes on, and the guy's like, oh, we were cooking chili and spilled some on our clothes.
And we
like,
both had to get
and we
naked.
Both had to get, like, come on, man. Like, that's stupid and that's ridiculous. And this guy is now refusing to step down, and he's just going to take a sabbatical. You have a lot of people that view sabbatical as this is a negative thing. My pastor did something wrong. This is why he's taking this time away. What we want to help you do and help our churches do is to work together for a healthy sabbatical. Like, hey, oh, where's your pastor at? Oh, he's taking sabbatical. My pastor values leading us so much that he values making sure that he's putting checks and balances in his spiritual life. These are good things. Work with your team together for.
And that goes back to that create a sabbatical plan. Know why you're doing it. If I could go back, I would have planned mine different and knew not just getting time off, but where am I? How am I moving myself forward during this time? And I would have had a better sabbatical plan. So know why you're taking off. Are you trying to finish up something that's an old project that you can then finish up? Or are you trying to start a new thing? So a new direction in your life, and this is a good time to start that. Are you just getting rest? Know why you're taking it.
Yeah, that's so key. It's so key to define what the goal of the sabbatical is. And as we regularly put it in the rhythm of our calendar and our churches, we're actually discipling our organization. We're not just discipling individuals, but we're discipling the system of our church, that spiritual rest matters, that there is a load that pastors take on their shoulders, and there's also a time when we're going to let them get rest. And, man, it's just healthy. So if you need any more helping or coaching or any of that, man, you can visit our Facebook page. You can type in the search bar, Small Church Leadership, and find us there. Send us a message. Post on our wall. Do something. Don't hesitate to reach out to us, because we would love to help walk you through this and also help pray for you as we go through that. So, man, you guys have anything else you want to share with anybody?
I was just going to say that one of the things that pastors like me struggle with is pride. And to think that your church will be destroyed in those 6 weeks is ridiculous. That your church will be fine without you, because God is still going to reign.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
He's still gonna run things. So a lot of, you know, I've talked to pastors that have said, "Well, I've been a pastor for 30 years, I've never had to take a sabbatical. Well, you never took one. It doesn't mean you didn't need to take
that
one.
That is not a point of pride.
Yeah.
It's like saying, hey, God may have needed one day off of the week to rest, but I don't need one day off of the week. I'm just going to work all seven because I'm better than God.
Yeah. And so trust God to take care of everything. You've done your due diligence to make sure everything is in place. Don't be so prideful to think that your church will be destroyed if you walk out that door for a sabbatical.
Because who's in control of the church, Colby?
That would be God.
That's very good.
Very good.
Very good. And what do we want to say about pastors taking sabbatical? Do it. Joey, you got anything else you want to share?
I'm good.
Okay. Well, listen, guys, if you will do me a favor, go wherever you're getting this podcast and leave us a 5-star review. We would absolutely love for you to do that. And while you're at it, find us on social media. You can find us on Facebook by typing in the search bar, Small Church Leadership. Thankfully, you will not see any one of our smiling faces as the profile picture. But if you troll our other photos, you might see us. So anyway, find us that way. Connect with us. We really appreciate you. And we look forward to joining back with you again next time on the Small Church Leadership Podcast, the podcast where we are prayerfully and hopefully helping the small church fulfill the big mission. My name's Brian.
I'm Joey.
I'm Colby.
And we shall see you on the flippity flop. Deacon Flicka, my friends. Bye now.